Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Today's show is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today. And the professional parts people can help you find the exact battery for your vehicle. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit them at O'ReillyAuto.com. All right, Vinny Tortorich is going to come in. We'll talk dieting and we'll also give him the threesome challenge. He's got a very unique answer to that. I think you're going to enjoy Vinny's take on the potential threesome. Also, take a walk down memory lane with him, and I have an interesting commercial that explains a lot to share with you as well. First, there's Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, and then there is your automotive policy. How about you put them together? It's called bundling, man. Take your automotive and your homeowners or your renter's insurance and bundle it up. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So just go to geico.com. Get a quote and see just how much you could save and how easy it is to save when you get your bundle going at Geico. That is geico.com.
When Jenaire Girardo suspected her husband was cheating, she secretly recorded him and heard the proof. He was having an affair.
Why do they get to be happy? And why do I have to suffer? I just love him so much, I can't take it.
And then Jenaire began recording herself, revealing how and why she was about to kill two people.
Well, more breaking news now from Delaware.
Radnor police say Jenaire Girardo ambushed the 33-year-old.
One of the big questions any mental health professional struggles with is, isn't everybody who commits murder mentally ill? To which most of us would say no, not necessarily.
From Podcast One, I'm Barbara Schroeder, writer-director of Netflix's Evil Genius, introducing Bad Bad Thing.
The shocking story that made headlines around the world.
Subscribe to Bad Bad Thing at Spotify, Apple, or anywhere you get your podcasts.
He turned me into a monster because he doesn't know anything about honesty.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, two-time UFC heavyweight champion, Frank Mir. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Vinny Tortorich drops by. And now, he's not okay with you not being okay. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. A choice, better get on. A mandate to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
What the fuck?
Oh, man, did I have a gaslight fake out switcheroo situation yesterday.
Oh.
Oi. It's a bigger picture thing, the way people convey information. We've always talked about that. Always kind of talked about that thing where people go, you know, send you a text, go, hey, we need to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it. And then you go, what happened?
Good.
What happened?
This
all these thoughts race to your head. And then they go, what do you like in your coffee? Like whole cream or like the creamer stuff? It's like, don't couch it that way.
Sure.
Delivering of news that mm-hmm. way. There's just a cadence. I tend to like to soften it a little. Others are a little rougher around the edges. But as it pertains to that, I misplaced my credit card, and I was trying to think, now what happened to my credit cards? I'm pretty meticulous about keeping an eye on things and putting things back where they go.
You're habitual when it comes to that stuff.
I'm habitual when it comes to that stuff. And I thought, what the hell? So I was trying to kind of trace it back, you know, and I said, wait a minute, Sonny and I ate at a Chinese food restaurant, then we went and saw a movie. I must have left it at that Chinese food restaurant. That's the last place I left it. So check with the Chinese food restaurant, no. Then I thought, well, the movie, I didn't use it to buy the ticket. I didn't go to the concession stand. I was like, well, how'd that work? And then I talked to Sonny, and he's like, well, remember you were in your seat, and I wanted to go to the concession stand. So you gave me your credit card.
Oh.
I was already in full recline. Mm-hmm. I was in the dentist chair.
Yeah.
And I gave him the credit card. And then he said, then I came back and I gave it to you. But But then remember your phone fell out of your pocket in the full recline? You know, we've not...
It's your worst nightmare.
Our gear has not caught up to our full recline mode we're in now.
True. Right.
Because back then you just sit in a movie theater, right. And now you recline and everything spills out because you haven't really made the adjustment.
Correct.
Zippers on pockets and whatnot. Never been a better time for the fanny pack, people. So then I thought, oh, yeah, you must have handed it back to me when I was fully reclined. I should have stood up and, like, fetched my mm-hmm. wallet mm-hmm. and put it back in a while, but I probably just took it sure. and put it in my pocket, mm-hmm. and then it slid out. So that's where it is. So I said, Sonny, get a hold of that movie theater and see if they've found my credit card. And, of course, he called them, and nobody picked up. And then they said, send an email, and they sent an email, but they didn't respond to the email. And
it is actually really hard to get a hold of a movie theater.
It is.
If you think about it, without being there in person.
Yeah.
Mr. Movie Phone will talk to you, but that's about it.
So I said to, at some point, I said to Matt, Borson Punisher, get hold of that movie theater. See if that they found that credit card. He couldn't get hold of them. And then at some point, he said, you should just go in.
Yeah.
So
sadly, yes.
It's been enough days, so I thought, I shall go in. And then I went in yesterday. And I walked in, and there was some kind of kid behind the concession stand, but he wasn't making popcorn. And I said, hey, do you guys have a lost and found? And he said, yep. And I said, well, I think I lost a credit card here. Can you go check, see if there's a credit card back there? And he said, okay. And he went into a little side office, heard a little back and forth with the manager. And then he came back, and he went, what's the name on that credit card? And I said, Corolla. Spelled it out. And he went, oh, okay. Went back to the office there for 2 minutes, little conversation, came back out. Nope, no credit cards. I was like, fuck. Because when he said, what's the name on the credit card?
Just
I was like,
checking.
Oh, we're home.
Yeah, he's verifying.
We're home. Yeah. He's verifying it.
Yeah.
But he broke it off into two pieces.
That's not right. That's not how you do that.
That isn't. I was like, I have my credit card at that moment. When he asked, what is the name?
As good as it
he's
is.
Holding
he
it.
Found a credit card.
He's ready to hand it to
he's
you.
He's just going
to
verify it. Nope.
Oh.
No.
That was like the opposite of the old American Express commercial.
That's
they won't
right.
give it to you.
So there was that. Power went out this morning.
Well, wait, before we move
home.
On,
yes.
Something tells me that you might not know you can do this, but I hope somebody who can use your phone went into your bank app and locked your card.
Yeah, well, we've done that.
Okay.
We've done that now. But either way.
The car has not been located?
There was has not been located.
Some kid at AMC is going on a spending spree.
I'm sure it's on the floor or it's in my some pants somewhere. Either way, I'm out of time with that, so I'll replace that. Then the
power
other night. Thing, the power went out. Worst time ever, I think. I don't know. Went off about 7:30 this morning, like right as I was waking up, mm-hmm. it was off. So, you know, no coffee, no TV, no nothing, no internet, no anything. Right. So there was that. And then I started thinking about it. Especially in California, it's just, you know, when you pass the freeway signs, it says rolling blackouts and, you know, surge and times
flex
and
alert.
Flex alert and do your laundry at 4 a.m.
Right.
and blah, blah, blah. It is an interesting pitch that in California, we are simultaneously the tip of the spear in pitching the electric automobile,
mm-hmm.
but the grid seems more fucked up than any state in the union, which is all, by the way, it's perfect on point California messaging, right? The freeway sign, once, you know, we're going to outlaw all new gas powered vehicles by 2035. We're going to lead the nation and lead the world in electric cars. We're going to have electric school buses. Everything is going to be electric. And then every year when the temperature gets over 92 degrees, they go, okay, man, now we don't have a power grid. So be careful.
Right. Unplug your fridge when the sun's out.
Right. Right.
And that's the irony. A lot of these blackouts, I was told, are because neighborhoods with a lot of Teslas and stuff who are charging their cars, the grid can't support those. So it all folds in on itself.
Right. Yeah. But it is kind of the perfect it's a perfect storm or example of why we don't fully love government or invest or trust government, because you're telling us, do this thing, get an electric car, but you guys can't manage the grid.
Can't be done.
All right. So there's that little dichotomy. Yeah, I was at a mall in, like, I don't know, Hidden Hills or Thousand Oaks or something. There was a row of Tesla chargers. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but I mean, there were 30 Tesla chargers in this mall.
Like, yeah, maybe not to that degree, but I've seen they're more and more.
Like at Whole Foods.
Especially on the West Side.
Yeah, yeah, this one had a bank of them. I mean, literally over 20 and, you know, maybe under 35. But if you also, it's a have and a have nots, as we always said. Gas is now $5 a gallon. So if you're driving a truck and you're a gardener or you're spreading stucco for a living and you're a poor Mexican, you are shit out of luck. But if you live next to the Kardashians and you drive the loaded Tesla, you'll never pay for fuel again. You
That's
can
right.
literally just pull into that
mall.
It's got a Starbucks and the whole food court and everything. Just plug it in. Yeah, I mean, you could do that twice a week. You would never pay another penny for fuel,
it's
essentially.
Perfect crime.
They're always trying to incentivize people to do the electric car thing, right? With the, you get into the carpool lane, or you know, you get rebates on your battery or whatever, et cetera, et cetera. The real one for LA is going to be the people who get that parking, better parking.
Oh, yeah.
It's closer to the entrance.
We have a reply. I told Chris to reach out to Danny Two Sheets about the Menage a Trois Ooh La La story from Vegas. And we, well, I ask, Vinny and Frank Mir are going to be two guys to ask how they would roll with their Menage breakdown versus taking the eight in the hand. But, as usual, my memory was a little fuzzy. It turns out it wasn't Daniel, it was Jimmy. Okay. Now, we're all sitting at the same bar getting drunk, so, you know, wasn't exactly the light of day, but he replied this way.
Yeah, so I just basically said the story I wanted his side, and he says, okay, as much as it sounds exactly like me and something I'd get an intern to do.
That's the next thing, too. When shit sounds like exactly like something you would do, sometimes it can get transferred. That's a little more of a Daniel-esque move than it was a Jimmy-esque move.
Yeah, he did a tangent. I did once pay a fat shit-faced intern at a Crank Yankers Christmas party $20 to take his shirt off and stand on top of a table and then announce to everyone what he just angrily whispered in my ear, which was, "You and Jimmy and Adam get all the credit, but we do all the work."
So he takes his shirt off and he's sloppy drunk
and he yells
that at everyone at the party.
Daniel says, "I'll never forget the look of horror on our line producer's face when that happened." But anyway, regarding this gem, I had to check with Jimmy and Sal to see if they had a better memory, and they did, because it was in fact Jimmy who got him to say it. Let me say this. As Jimmy has gotten full credit over the years for the Natalie Maines prank, despite my very significant contributions, it only seems fair that this is accredited to me. But I can't in good conscience accept this stolen valor. Alas, it was Kimmel.
A man of honor.
Wow.
Wow. You don't see that much these days.
Well read. Well put.
All right. So we got that straightened out. Let's see. We got... Oh, I wrote this down. No one ever agrees with me on this particular subject, but I was got myself a glass of water, put the filtered water in it, you know, from the spigot thing with the filter built in. It probably hasn't been changed in 31 years.
Doing more damage than
that. I always use that one.
I was taking hits off it, and it smelled just like a sponge. And I've had it happen a million times where I've taken a coffee mug out of the rack and started to put something in it and started foaming up.
I've also
gotten a lot of sponge.
But wait, foam and sponge indicate there's something with the glass.
Yeah, it says soap in it.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were saying something with the filter.
No, the filter.
You led it with the filter.
Yeah, like a mildewy sponge.
The glass had the sponge.
A little frothy at the top.
I've always said I really think the cleaning is more harm than good because it's not executed correctly.
Right.
They take the stuff, they squirt it in, they rinse it out, they put it in the thing, and then the next time you pour something in it, it starts to foam up because there's residue. The sponges go south and get weird and mildewy and shitty. And all I'm saying is if you have a glass And the last thing that was in that glass was probably water, possibly a juice of some sort. But around here is probably water, bubbly water, something like that. Just give it a good rinse with hot water and put it back in the rack. Getting the sponge involved and the soap involved, too much. Too many chances for things to go wrong.
Yeah.
I'm more on your side than you think I would be. The one thing I would add is give the rim a little wash. Someone's lips have been there. Someone's been all over this thing. Just give the rim a little wash.
You know, it's funny. Brian's right for me.
It's the lipstick quotient
that
screws
what
it up.
I do. Just rinse it out and I just take a paper towel and just squeegee that lipstick off.
All right. We've crossed a new threshold in society as it pertains to podcasting. I don't know if you found that commercial, Max Zapata, but I've said it a million times, study the commercials and see where we're at as a society, because they're a little snapshot, but also commercials can't be confusing. They have to sort of, you can't go, what are those people doing? Right. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that activity is. Mm-hmm. You know, then traditionally,
you have to understand the message.
They would show people in the kitchen cooking, and then they'd talk about life insurance. Right. Or they would have them sitting on a swing out in the yard drinking coffee, and they would talk about some pharmaceutical or something, or riding a bike or something like that. I'm going to make this prediction, by the way. All couples are now mixed on television. Right now, we're at a stage in 2021 where when the kids are involved, they're a mixture of the couple.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I say coming soon, white woman, black man, Asian kids. I think that's going to be the next one. That's right. Because there's a spot open.
Right.
We can get an ethnicity in there.
Wow.
Or they'll be wearing my new invention, which is the gay vest.
Excuse me?
How does that work?
Well, like they take pictures and they talk about diversity and all that kind of stuff. But we can't tell who's gay. We can see the black guy and the white guy and the guy in the wheelchair, but we can't. We see the blind guy's got the dog, but we can't tell who's gay.
Aside from very offensive mincing or something, you know, some nonsense.
Yeah, I'm just on like a company photo or something like that.
You know, this has been tried in history before.
Gay vest?
Close. Making Jews wear yellow stars. I don't think
this is
gonna...
gay star.
Yeah, well, no, making rainbow
That's
stars.
That's absolutely not what I was
rainbow
suggesting.
Star. I'm going with Gina's
Great idea,
ideas.
Gina.
Yeah. All right.
Why did you secure the yellow star? It's off limits.
So in the annals of the zeitgeist of America, I was watching. I'll do you guys one better if you want to really like kind of study humanity in our society. Watch TV commercials with the sound down.
Ooh.
You weirdly pick up more. You can just see, you just sort of focus
Makes
on
sense.
What's going on. I was sitting in a restaurant. They had the All-Star game up and a commercial ran, but of course, no sound. It was in a restaurant. I was just studying this commercial. I'll run you the commercial. I think it was for Humira. I think it was whatever, psoriasis or
like Crohn's disease.
Crohn's disease. Yeah, everyone's got something going on with the bowels these days. It's a white chick, 28. She's opening her garage. Sorry, you can go ahead and play.
Like many people with moderate to severe ulcerative colitis.
Got her mixed friend
disease.
With her.
I was there. Be right back.
she's got to take a dump. But later on, her black friend gets to eat fried food and she doesn't. And it's the
Christina and Katie show.
Christina and Katie show.
Is for people who
podcast
have
one's going to pick that up pretty soon.
They're on next.
They're in the garage.
Oh, they have an on-air sign.
I think some old set director probably put that in there.
How are we going to know they podcast if there's no on-air sign?
I love that they're sitting next to each other in the garage.
They're sitting next to each other, talking about problems.
With nobody in there.
Serious allergic reactions. Leave the door open. Is this a lesbian couple, by the way? Because there's been a lot of time together.
I want in on this day. This seems like a lovely day.
Now they're eating burgers.
Don't start here if you have an infection.
In like their greenhouse.
Couple.
I love that podcasting has made this journey into mainstream medication commercials. The one activity that would not hurt you to just stop anytime and go crap is podcasting.
Right.
You're not live broadcasting on the air, on dead air. It's like, I'll pick this up in 20 minutes.
Yeah, put them on a climbing wall and have like the instructor under them holding the rope, you know.
That's when you need Humira.
That's when the look hits, right.
Yeah, this is easy enough to push pause.
Yeah, it's true. You need to pick an activity. You know, they have these people, sometimes they go like, oh, she's gardening. And they're like, oh boy, I got to go back inside.
Can't
but it's like, you're gardening, you're fine. The bulbs will wait.
So what we should be inferring...
Hold on, I gotta take a shit.
See?
And is we're that back. Okay, so this is supposed to be like podcasting for the young folk. So do the young folk now have more rumble in the jungle than we realized? This is for young people to stop shitting themselves.
Not a good sign when, you know, people in their late 20s and early 30s are having a lot of bowel-related issues. Sure. Kind of reminded me of that commercial they ran a couple of years ago where the guy was on the construction site.
Oh, right.
And he was too backed up from his pain meds.
From his opioids. Oh,
right, yes. So he was strung out on opioids, hadn't had a dump in 3 weeks, now they made another pill for him to take along with the opioids.
Well, we got it all covered.
Loosen up the stool. But the fact that somebody said, we need to have these, we need a tableau for these two gals to be in. And in the past, it would have been hiking or mountain bike riding or something like that.
Folding laundry.
Now it's podcasting.
Wow.
And again, you can't do that stuff if everyone looks at it and goes, what the fuck
What's
is that? Are they doing a radio
is that
show?
A small radio studio?
I don't know what's going on. So it has to be completely in the zeitgeist. If you're going to run it for a major pharma company and you're going to put it on in prime time during the All-Star game,
we've arrived only 12 years after we started.
We've arrived. Yeah. I mean, 12 years ago, it's like people didn't know what it was, want to know what it was doing, called it a podcast. So that just struck me. And again, it's why you have to study the commercials because you'll go, oh, if... You don't need to do a thing where you go, it's kind of my airport thing. Like, you know, when people talk about, oh, is the show successful? The TV shows, they get ratings, how are they doing in the demo? It's like, just go walk to the airport. If you get stopped a lot, the show's successful.
Yeah.
You know, or people yell, hey, man, show out the car window, then it's successful. You could crunch all the numbers you want and go, well, 72% of Americans say they know what a podcast is, and 61% say they listen more than once a week. Or you can do all that you want, or you can just turn on the TV and see it in a commercial and go, okay, it's here.
Yeah, something we can all relate to.
That is something I've noticed. All right. We have a couple of stories. There's an article. I heard a story. Rapper walked out of... jail, essentially, made it to the curb in Chicago and was met by some friends.
Oh, that's
you have that story?
Rapper shot as many as 64 times as he walked out of Chicago
64.
Jail.
64? Max Patty, your body couldn't hold 64 bullets.
No, I'd be that would disintegrate me.
Yes.
Dumao Mao.
Mm-hmm.
A man who was apparently ambushed after being released from the Cook County Jail in Chicago suffered as many as 64 bullet wounds to his head and other parts of his body, police said. The shooting Saturday
night.
We'll
do the math on other parts of the body. I mean, once you've shot 64 times, we get
There's no head left.
Other parts.
The shooting Saturday night killed Londre Sylvester, 31, a police report said. He was pronounced dead in a hospital. NBC Chicago reported the victim was a local rapper who went by the stage name KTS Dre. Sylvester had just been released after being fitted for an electronic monitoring. Mm. And was walking to a waiting vehicle when several suspects exited two separate vehicles and all began to shoot in Sylvester's direction.
Some Sonny Corleone shit.
Let me ask this about the being fitted with the monitoring, the ankle monitor. Mm-hmm. I don't know what protocol is. If the ankle monitor is still in good shape as a taxpayer, I'd like it put back into the system.
Sure.
Lightly used.
But it could have been hit with a couple of bullets. You shot 64 times. But if it's in good shape, on the other hand, you know, when you sell a house and someone committed suicide in the house, you
have to disclose it.
Yep. It'd feel like a weird haunted ankle monitor, like the next guy that gets that ankle monitor.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's something you need to know about this ankle monitor. Really? Is it heavy? No.
Right. Now, you may get lucky and only get shot 41 times if you wear it. Sorry.
The killing comes amid a rise in shootings this year in Chicago and broader concerns nationwide about increasing violence. On Monday, Chicago Police Superintendent David Brown was among city and law enforcement leaders from around the United States meeting with President Joe Biden about efforts to reduce crime. Following Saturday night's shooting, the suspects re-entered their vehicles and fled the scene. A 60-year-old woman who was with Sylvester was shot in one of her knees and was hospitalized in good condition.
That's good aim.
a second woman who was in her 30s suffered a graze wound to her mouth.
Really? Oh.
Sylvester had posted $5,000 bail on Friday. He had been ordered held on $50,000 bail on July 1st after prosecutors last month hit him with a petition for violation of bail bond for allegedly failing to meet the conditions of his release in a 2020 felony gun case.
All right. Well,
so you're sending a clear message when it's 64 bullets.
I'm guessing. The point is I'm with Biden. We got to get these white supremacists off the street because it's turning into a killing field over there. All right. I just thought it was bizarre that he was shot 64 times. But again, I think that's probably gang related.
What? I'd imagine there was
some. There you go, profiling again.
Probably sending a message. All right. Vinny's going to come in. Vinny is going to. And we have the final poll, by the way, on our Ménage à Trois Ooh La La poll, right?
Yeah.
Got the final numbers in on that. First, I'll tell you, we'll get into that in a second. First, I just want to tell you about O'Reilly. I think Matt had a little O'Reilly situation today.
Yeah, you know, the last couple days, I noticed my car was not really starting as quickly as it normally would. It was just kind of revving a couple times, and then it would engage. And I really wasn't sure what to do. And then this morning, woke up, went out to the car, wouldn't start. Dead battery. Mm-hmm. So thankfully, I've been listening to the podcast and know we have a relationship with O'Reilly. So I had my wife drive me right around the corner, worked with the guys there, told them the make and model of the car.
Hold on. You let your wife drive?
Yeah.
Come on.
It was dangerous just going around the corner there.
Desperate man.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it was really, really helpful. And the guys gave me an O'Reilly Super Start battery and explained how to swap it out. And it was easy enough. Even I could do it. And I was a little late for work, but thankfully didn't take too much time. So thank you very much to O'Reilly, and I'm looking forward to driving around town in that Superstar battery.
Sorry about docking you, but rules are rules. I don't want other people to know it's okay to do that.
Next message.
So, Matt, you're no master mechanic, but even you could go down to O'Reilly and install your own Superstar battery.
Yeah, I got to say, when I first opened up the hood just before I talked to anybody, I was a little scared. Kind of reminded me of my teenage days, if you know what I'm saying.
Thank God you're wearing your Simpson slippers.
Yeah. Because
I feel like that gives you superpowers.
Yeah, exactly. You know, changing the wiper fluid, frankly, is a big accomplishment in my house. So I looked at the battery, or what I thought was the battery. It may not have even been the battery. And I was like, this is not happening. I got to get to work. And I'm telling you, the heavens opened when I realized that O'Reilly was, I mean, literally around the corner from where my car broke down.
Yeah, well, they're all over the place, and they have the Superstarter batteries there. And the thing is it's not one size fits all. You get the right Superstarter battery for the right car. There are differences, but don't worry, they have one that'll fit your car.
And, also, yeah. I'm sorry to cut you off. This isn't something that I would really find appealing, but the smell inside of an O'Reilly, just the smell of the tires, that. Auto smell. It's lovely.
Mom's apple pie, fresh cut grass, and the inside of the Burbank O'Reilly auto parts for me. That's my Mount Rushmore of a factory conditions. I love those.
Yeah. So yes. I knew I was in good hands before I even approached the counter. And again, the guy was just super nice, and I was lucky, he was lucky that I knew the make and model of my car. But once that was cleared up, it was easy peasy.
Yeah. I think once in a while they should ask you what color it is and then start laughing. All right. That is the Superstarter battery. And if, again, you need a new battery, and you may. Do not wait until you get stranded like poor Matt over there. Go to O'Reilly and check it out now. That is O'Reilly Auto Parts and their Superstarter batteries. All right.
Make an exception once.
Thank you for that, Matt. Let's see. Should we... Maybe we should take a break, and then we'll do the Vinny, and we'll give you the poll. And obviously, Vinny's got all the stuff he wants to talk about as well. We'll get into that. I heard him talking to Gina about blood sugar monitoring and all that as she heads to the final stretch for the wedding day.
Yeah.
We'll do all that right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know. It's hard work out there, owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace Man, got a wedding coming up. I need an introduction song. You know, one where they say, please welcome Mr. and Mrs. What you got?
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Alice Cooper's Only Women Bleed. That would be my introduction
Get
song.
Get hype, everyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a weird, soft Alice Cooper song that... Is that you, Dawson, or is that... Wow. Such a weird Alice Cooper song.
Very is this like mid Alice Cooper when he's like, you know, with the makeup and everything?
Yeah.
And Frankenstein and all woman. That shit?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Take a seat. Take a seat. In the hair.
He got the power, oh, she got the need.
Wow.
She spends her life through pleasing up a man.
Oh.
Yeah.
Feeds her dinner, oh, anything she can.
Some blue-eyed soul.
She cries alone at night too often.
Yeah.
He smokes and drinks and don't come home at all.
That's the greatest entry song ever. Hey, Gina.
Yeah, I'm writing this
you
down.
You got a wedding coming.
Only wind bleed.
I'm definitely bumping the song we had in mind.
Soulless Jackson and Brown.
Man, make your hair gray.
Presenting.
Make
Please
your hair
welcome.
Gray.
All you're really looking for. An even break.
Wow, simpler
he
times.
Right at you.
Not even a
you
good song. This song was charted.
Does this kick in eventually?
This is it.
Boy.
It's kick.
The drum signals, you know, a crescendo.
Too often.
There's gonna be a lot of these 70s songs.
Smokes and drinks and don't come home at all.
Well, who cares if he smokes and he's never coming home? You know, it's not like it's...
Well, you needed a ballot in the 70s. Right. That was the thing. To get on FM radio, you needed a ballot.
Well, the band's got to go backstage in the middle of the concert.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Refuel.
Can't remember how it turned out for her. At some point in these
orchestra.
Songs, the
Strings?
Chick makes a comeback. Like, she musters the
not
strength.
She empowers herself.
In the eye.
This is not a country and western song. It stays right
There's
here.
No coming back from this?
No coming back.
Right, let's see. Black eyes.
Spend a dime, clean up this grime, and you there, down on your knees, begging me please, come watch me, please.
Wow. This is a very unhealthy relationship.
Was Alice listening to a lot of Neil Diamond at this point?
I have no, I'm sure Neil somebody asked. Wrote this and told them to do it.
It has a very Tommy the Musical vibe.
Yeah. Hey, Alice, you know how you can't sing? I wrote a song for you.
Brad used to do a lot of this, too.
Oh, Brad's the number one.
Yeah, they did a lot of this.
Is that Baby Ever Want You?
No, that wasn't Brad.
But Brad, maybe that is Brad. But Brad was the pussy whipped version of this. They were on the wrong side of the belt.
Written by Alice Cooper.
Oh, no.
Only women bleed.
Now, he had to do this in concert because it was a big hit of his. But he had to do it with a snake around his neck, like sitting in a guillotine chair. You know what I mean?
Riding crop under his arm.
Yeah, like at some point he had to do this song.
The people demand it.
He couldn't go in the back and wipe up all the kabuki makeup and put the snake back in the cage. Like, he had to just do it wearing his... You know, black studded chaps and his vest and everything.
Yeah.
I can Tina Turner cover this?
Oh, that I believe.
Wow.
That is autobiographical.
That is really leaning in. Hiding in plain sight.
Maybe that was a cry for help from Ida Mae.
Well, Ike may have sued him for his, some sort of copyright infringement. Like, hey, I was beating
my story.
This is my story.
This is I own this story.
If I find out they're on tour together and Alice is inspired by watching Ike and Tina, I'm going to lose my mind.
If Ike had said anything, or if Alice Cooper has said anything like, I beat her with a boot, then Ike would have stepped in and said, wait a minute.
Right.
Yeah. That's my stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, by the way, lyrically, super lazy. Like, when she goes, she makes him dinner or something. It's like, what do you mean something? It's dinner.
That's right up there with, if I was a painter, but then again, no.
No.
Well, wait a minute. How about, this is the guy who did, we can't think of a word that rhymes. That's a lyric in the song.
Oh, yeah.
School's Out.
Oh, really? Does he say that in School's Out?
Come on, buddy.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We got no principles.
A sculptor.
We're going to think of a word that rhymes.
Oh, really? I didn't even know. I didn't know that was in there.
Lots and lots of words that rhyme principle.
Invincible.
Invincible.
This was also on Freedom Rock, man.
Oh, yeah. They just play the shit out of this around the middle of June every year because that meant we were leaving.
This song should be buried in a box and never played.
I know. And then he's like, school's out forever. But which is it? He just said it was out for summer. Like, I'm in the eighth grade. I got to go back.
Yeah.
There's no sweatshop I can get a gig at.
So you were looking at this as instruction? Wait, forever? Meaning I don't have to go back?
Oh, that is how he looked at it.
He declared it was out for the summer, and then he said it's forever.
He doubled down with forever.
He should never run a small business because he put that sign up that said out for lunch and the next would say out forever.
Yeah. Be back at and the thing just spins forever. Right.
Remember you'd go to businesses and they'd be out for lunch?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's quaint.
Kind of miss that.
Yeah. Back at whatever it was, 1 o'clock.
So he's got no principal and he's got no principals, I think is what he said.
Oh, okay.
Is that what he says?
Let's listen. We can't think of a word that rhymes with innocence, I guess, or principle. Wow, I never even heard that part of this song.
Those are two very eminently rhymable words.
I always tune this song out. Anyway, Vinny Tortorich is here, everyone. Documentary, Fat Documentary 2 is where you go. It's available now on Amazon Prime Video and iTunes as well. Vinny, we got the polling for the Ménage à Trois. We have the hypothetical question for you. You're a man of exquisite passion, so I think you're uniquely suited to answer this.
We should establish if Vinny's had a ménage à trois.
Oh, yes.
Mm. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
No more follow-up questions.
What year was this?
Circa 93, conch shell era.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like the up all night, that era?
That era.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Could have been some of those. This or that.
Do you remember that show, the Rhonda Shear Up All Night on USA?
Yes, yes.
And
I remember
Vinny would appear on like the bed in the background.
Yeah.
Oh, Up All Night. Yeah.
Rhonda was a friend, still a friend, and they were short on material. And I was living over on Doheny, and they would record that somewhere, you know, just on the other side of West Hollywood. And she was like, "Get over here," and I'm like, "I'm in for." And she says, "Get over here. We need material." They never gave me a script. They never did anything. And as a matter of fact, they would tell me when I spoke to speak really loudly because there was only a boom mic.
Yeah, no lavs.
Yeah, you know, and there was no material ever.
Yeah, that show was, she was a bubbly blonde.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And would she run movies?
Yeah. Yeah, because remember, then Gilbert Godfrey took over for her, right?
No.
Or is that a different
She'd
one?
Do interstitials?
No, they would. Yeah, it was interstitials. She would do it 1 week. The very next week, Gilbert Godfrey would do it.
I was way off.
And then, then it wasn't like one took over for the other.
Right, right, right.
They would switch off every week, and she would have like, that's how I met the Barbie twins.
Mm. Oh, the Barbie twins.
Yeah, you know, it was like all of these type of people that would run in and out. And then after the show, we would all go somewhere, limo, and do the whole thing. And but what people don't know about Rhonda Shear is she was originally from New Orleans, very smart woman. She was a brunette. She might have been Miss Louisiana, very smart, almost won some election. I want to say representative or something like that. And then came to Hollywood as a flat-chested brunette. She ended up on like Happy Days as, you know, whenever Fonzie would, you know, click right. his fingers, she would be one of the girls that would run up. Never really got a career going until she bolted on a set of boobs and did the blonde hair Shrewd. And acted like a bimbo and then ended up on The Tonight Show.
She, that was, trying to think where Elvira factors into this era.
Is that, around the same time.
So it's like chicks with cleavage doing interstitial late night shows where they'd show a movie.
Late
80s, right?
Early 90s, yeah.
Yeah.
Did she have a line of bras? Because when she bras comes
yes.
up.
Yes. She, Rhonda became very wealthy by doing, you know, QVC type stuff. Rhonda
I'm
Shear,
just, first off,
girdles and can I say this? All this kind of stuff.
I'm just, I'm so jealous. The reason I'm jealous is because there's no version of this where it's like, well, Adam worked construction, he was a knock-around guy, and then he got the calf implants.
Right.
Yeah.
Then he got some Just for Men.
That's right.
And next thing you know, he's sitting on top of a mountain of money.
But really,
he acted dumb.
Acted?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I mean, it's like, I wish there was a dude version of that shit. It just doesn't exist.
No, she played it. She realized she couldn't get anywhere without the tits and the hair, and she did it. And next thing you know, she and just capitalized on. This might be a gross story to tell, but I'll tell it. She would get requests for soiled underwear, not, you know, just used underwear.
Yeah,
from these Japanese men and this whole thing. And
that's game worn.
That's yeah.
Mm-hmm. Game worn. That's right.
And
spent.
When she saw that, and she was like, wait, they want my used underwear? I'll just come out with Rhonda Shear's lingerie or whatever, bras. Or whatever. That's how she created that. It was just off of guys wanting to sniff her shoes and her underwear and everything else.
Maybe we could get her in on one of those Humera spots. Mm-hmm. It's like a good, better than this hoes doing the fucking podcast.
That's right.
Let's get some real panty soiling going on here. Wow. And now she's where?
I have no idea.
Somebody did something.
I'm tired.
So you got to hang with the Barbie twins.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Shane and Sia.
They were hot for a while. Remember the Barbie twins?
Yeah. Again, two very smart women.
Yeah.
People think of them as these bimbo-y, you know, very smart. And their last name was actually Barbie, and they had to go to court and fight for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they, again... When I was 27, I couldn't get one of my buddies and go, let's get calf implants, dye our hair, and we'll be the Ken twins.
Right.
No. Yeah. And we'll just take over Hollywood. Uh-huh. We'll get a big we'll get a big billboard on Sunset Strip.
Yeah.
I'll marry Ken Wall or whatever. Ken. One of those guys.
Ken Miles.
I think Shane is still married to that guy.
Was it Ken?
Ken Wall.
Yes.
Ken O'Brien.
Barbie married Ken.
That's right.
Never thought of that.
Match made in heaven.
That guy was like. Action-y, hero-y.
Ken Wall?
Yeah.
He was a baseball player who did a show about infiltrating the mafia, and it was like this incredible hit. I think his name in the show might have been Vinny, and back in the day, we looked a lot alike in that era. Look up Ken Wall.
Ken Wall was a hit for 10 minutes. He had a hit TV show when they had those like detective shows and all that kind of stuff, the sort of 80s hunky
Hunter and such.
Stuff. Yeah, that kind of stuff. And starred in a movie, Brian, multiple movies, but they tried to put him into a big vehicle.
Okay.
It's probably that kind of situation where you're a hunky guy, you have a hot TV show, and at some point Hollywood will take a chance on you opening a movie. But, you know, if you're Bruce Willis and it's Die Hard, it'll work out pretty good. But if it doesn't work, you don't really get another bite at that apple. He had a movie called, like, Escape from Beverly Hills or something, where a bunch of a wise guy was the name of the show, and The Taking of Beverly Hills was the name of a movie. It was like an action thriller. This is a kind of an under siege or something in Beverly Hills.
I get the
Hills.
Idea right away. I just never heard of
Does
it.
Does he just kick in the door at Nate's?
Nate Nows?
Yeah.
Yeah. Knocks
to a bunch
over
of scared
Larry
Jews.
King's soup. That was, I don't know, circa 1986 or something. Ken Wall, The Taking of Beverly Hills.
What? That's funny. That completely matches the description. You know, the guy got the one shot, didn't work out, and here we are.
Got the Molotov cocktail in a champagne bottle.
Yeah.
Sir, I must have been 85 or something. All right, should we all do a Rotten Tomatoes guess on the Taking of Beverly Hills?
Not everyone can say zero.
All right.
Can someone say zero?
Write it down. Anyone can say zero.
All right.
Is everyone locked in?
Yes. Yep.
Winner of this one wins the last game we played.
Shit.
I'm going to go 23.
21.
3.
9.
The Taking of Beverly Hills does not have enough ratings.
Oh. So I think I win at 3.
The people have it a robust 37. Yeah, so one of the Barbie twins married
Ken. Barbie did, okay. Yeah.
And now they're Ken and Barbie.
Wow.
Grossed $900,000 but
on
a $19 million budget.
God damn.
And it didn't make $1 million.
Wow.
Tanked.
See,
that, you know what that is? That happens a lot when, like, that's a movie that gets buried. When, like, it gets approved by one studio head, then the other one comes in, like, we're not releasing this piece of shit, goes into 20 theaters, and they wash their hands of the whole thing.
Yeah, and I didn't, well, I say I don't follow Ken Wall's career, but it sounds like I do. I just have a weird memory for this shit. But again, that's a perfect example. This guy's got heat. He's on TV. He's good looking. He's popular. The ladies love him. Let him open a movie. When you put in $19 million and it doesn't do $1 million box office, you do not get to open other action movies. That's it. And it's kind of, it can be luck of the draw. It can just be, you know, shitty script, shitty director, whatever.
Right.
But if you can get out of the gate with an Under Siege or a Die Hard or something, then you can keep going.
Die Hard is a great example because, of course, Bruce Willis famous from Moonlighting, and then he was the sort of anti-Stallone and Schwarzenegger. He wasn't buff. He was like this wisecracking guy, and it worked.
Robert Davi, our own Robert Davi, was in that. And Pam Anderson in her first film role.
Oh, shit.
Now I got to see this.
I bet she looked different.
So,
like Rhonda Shearer, Angeline, Barbie twins, Elvira, like they had a moment, you know, the like, what exactly do you do? Who cares?
Didn't the Barbie
You're
twins
cute?
Go on Stern a lot? Was that maybe
that sounds
up?
About right?
I'm going to turn it to health and fitness and the Barbie twins for a second. Those girls suffered from bulimia, anorexia, and they were also exercise bulimics, where they would eat something and then go to the stairs in Santa Monica and run all night long.
Work
up and
off.
Down the stairs. All night. When I say all night long, they would just go up and down. And that's where, after I met Shane and Sia on the set at Rhonda's show with the hair and makeup and everything, a couple of months later, I'm going up and down the stairs, and this woman is dressed almost like a homeless woman. Big baggy sweats, big T-shirt, and dark hair. And every time we went up and down, she would look at me.
Mm-hmm.
This woman's nuts. And she was trying to get me to realize that we knew each other. And then one time on a round, she stopped me and she goes, "Vinny." And I said, "Yeah, who are you?" And she, "Shane." "Shane who?" "Shane Barber." I had no idea it was her. She would just go up and down. I would never recognize her without all the hair and makeup. Mm.
The Barbie twins were named Barbie. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Not knowing them, obviously, they sound like nice people. I didn't know them, obviously. Yeah. They always struck me as very, very media savvy, calculated kind of creations. You know, and what you're describing is one way on the camera, one way off.
Yeah. You know, I don't know how I ended up in this limo one night, but they were premiering something, and it was when Tower Records, I don't know if it's still on
Sunset.
It's all gone.
But they were going to release something at Tower and the whole thing. And we went up and down in the limo two or three times. And they didn't see enough people standing out front waiting for them to come.
Mm-hmm.
They just took off.
Wow.
I'm like, but there's people. And they were like, not enough. We're done.
Oof.
Hypothetical, Vinny, involving a threesome.
Not the Barbie twins.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Hang on.
In their prime, who do you nail? Who do you have the threesome with? Barbie twins? Or Hee-Haw twins.
Oh.
That's a no-brainer. The Hee-Haw Twins.
Yeah, I knew it. Old school.
Oh, yeah.
Keeping it real.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's in the Spank Bank.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That you kids with all your you porn and you jizz and all your you sack and all that kind of stuff. Back then, you just had Hee-Haw and you had the Hee-Haw Twins.
Hang on. Throw one back at you. Hee-Haw Twins are the Doublemint Twins.
I feel like the Doublemint Twins changed cast too much, right? Like, weren't there?
Like, there were several iterations.
There were several.
But the originals went
I'll stick with the Hee-Haw. I got to play it safe. You're not going to go wrong with the original Hee-Haw Twins.
Where are the Hee-Haw Twins?
The show Hee-Haw had these bubble-headed blondes that were twins.
Shane and Sia Hee-Haw?
That's all you had to do is be decent looking and have a C-cup, and you two could get paid.
Was that like the hillbilly laugh-in?
Yeah.
I never watched it.
Yeah, it was a hillbilly laugh-in. Okay, here you go. Hee-Haw Twins or the Lander Sisters? Those were
Lander's sisters back in the day?
Yeah. Those are the two blondes that were hot sisters that would always end up on Love Boat and stuff.
That's a rough one.
And now when you go back and listen to them, they're all like incest survivors. And you hear that voice, that crazy little squeaky voice they had. There's the Lander sisters.
Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see them up
they
close.
Look familiar.
I might have to go.
What else? What were they? They look very familiar.
I got to be honest with you.
They did everything back then.
Were they like Fonzie's girls too? Like that?
Hang on. You take these. Show this to Adam. Adam, look at this, and I'm going to tell you to think of something.
They may have been. One of them may have been on BJ and the Bear.
Okay.
Which was a kind of a, you know, Dukes of Hazzard about a guy who drove a truck, because everything's about 18-wheelers back in the 70s. BJ and the Bear is a guy who drove a truck. The Bear was the name of his monkey.
Yes,
it had everything that the 70s had to offer. He had the pet monkey. He had the guy driving the 18-wheeler. And one of the Lander sisters was named Stax. She was like Dispatch or something.
How do they get away with that?
All right, I'm looking at the Lander sisters.
Tell me you're not looking at two Kathy Showers.
I don't know who Kathy Showers is.
Okay, you lose your 70s card right there.
I'm sorry.
She's just Playmate of the Year 1976. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, really? Thought I knew all the Playmates.
Kathy Shower.
All right. Let's...
You didn't ask him the real question.
Oh, yeah, the real question. The real question is... Okay. Do you have sex with 1-8... or a threesome of a combined score of 10. You can whack it up any way you like. Go with a 2 and an 8. Go with 5 and 5. It's kind of, America's sort of split now on this hypothetical. A lot of guys here chose the 8. A lot have gone with the threesome, but they've had to be careful about the numbers. It seems to be the 6-4 split seems to be
the way to go.
Vinny, how say you?
There's no question. There's only one answer here. You go with the 8.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
And here's why.
Mm-hmm.
I've had my share of 8s.
Mm-hmm.
I married a 10.
Mm-hmm.
She's still a 10 in my mind. Mm-hmm. A 10, even though they age, they're still a 10. Mm-hmm. They still act like a 10. Right? That never goes away. Everybody thinks they want a threesome. Mm-hmm. They have no idea how much they don't want a threesome.
Why?
Even when you're in your prime, when you can get it going 3-4 times a night, think about it. The first time, the first nut is the best nut.
Oh. Mm, that's a Rod Stewart song.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Sheryl Crow covered that song.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, after that, you're just trying to, you're doing it for God and
your
country.
You're playing catch up.
Yeah. And let's say you had a 6 and a 4 and you did the 6 first. Now you're looking at the 4.
Mm.
And even on a good night, you might have trouble with the 6 again.
Mm. Mm.
It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare, and you don't want them laughing at you when you go flaccid.
Wow.
This
is a man with experience.
It's not like a porn angle video. I'm sorry. It's not like the porn where they just keep going and going and going. There was no Viagra back in my day.
Right.
When you were done, you were done. And you've always heard the thing of, Oh, yeah, I had a threesome. The two girls ended up doing each other and laughing and talking about recipes. That's because you're not doing your job. Because you can't do your job.
Well, I'm glad I asked, number one. Number two, I need you to talk to Sonny because he wouldn't take any advice from his mom. You make a compelling point about busting the nut and then the second nut bust and starting with the six and moving to the four.
That's a steep hill to climb with the four.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm trying my best to find the Hee-Haw twins, and it could be my poor Googling skills, which isn't really bad. But are you sure it was Hee-Haw?
Yeah. I thought there were it was the Hee-Haw twins, but
wait,
I don't know.
The show Hee-Haw.
Yeah, the show Hee-Haw. Mm-hmm. The show Hee-Haw had blonde twins on it. That's,
didn't they like pop out of a corn stalk or something?
Everyone popped out of a corn stalk.
Okay.
Yeah. And I agree. You start with the six. That's a weird modern picture of the Hee-Haw twins, maybe.
Well, it's actually, they're really hard to Google. You Google Hee-Haw twins, nothing comes up.
Why'd they scrub the Hee-Haw twins?
Hard to Google.
It doesn't exist. Yeah. Very hard to Google.
Well, maybe
hard
they don't Google. Exist. Well, you got to find a cast picture or something like
could
that.
Could have a different show.
I'm getting close. Hang on.
No, it was on Hee-Haw.
Or they just grows a look-alike.
I don't know. They may not have been biological twins. They just called them the Hee-Haw twins.
Oh, there you go.
They put them on there.
Very sultry.
And I barely know how to use the internet.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So, Hee-Haw twins, stick with the eight. Don't go with the six.
A fool's game is what it is.
Fool's errand. You go with the six. If you do go with the 6-4 split, start with the four.
You got to start with the four. You need to climb that hill.
That's right. I agree.
Good advice.
All right. Let's see. We got some questions up there. Vinny, what are we going to talk about? We're talking about altitude training. Let me just talk to Kyle from Tallahassee. Kyle?
Adam, Bob, Gina, Vinny.
Hi.
Hey, Kyle. What's going on?
Nothing much.
Mm-hmm. Stay-at-home dad, gym teacher for 20 years. Lost 120 pounds on NSNG?
God. Yep, that's right.
Wow. This shit works.
We're looking at pictures. Man, down, what'd you go from at your most?
360.
Mm-hmm.
And down to about 240.
AVN looks terrible.
Nice. That's right. You want to pull some ball? And so what's the regimen? What do you do every day?
Well, it took me a while to get here, but now I intermittent fast, coffee, heavy whipping cream until dinner time. Eat one dinner, and then a little bit later eat a second dinner, four-hour eating window. Been doing that for about a year and a half.
And you still teaching gym?
No. I was a stay-at-home dad for a couple of years, and then I had to was headed back into the gym. That's why I decided I had to lose the weight because it's no fun down here in Tallahassee. It's like a swamp and you're going to be outside. So I got a gym teaching type job and COVID knocked me out of it last year. So I'm back at stay-at-home dad again with the little one.
Well, let's talk about that schedule for a second. And it's good that Vinny's here because I believe so much. I mean, the way most people are wired, I can do pretty good, but it's hard when people are bringing home Mike's subs, Jersey Mike's, and not finishing them. And you just open the fridge and it's just like sitting in there.
Yep.
But schedule. I find get up, have your coffee, put your cream in it, and then leave. And don't even schedule in lunch, so to speak. I tend to just come here and just work, and you don't really miss it.
If your body gets used to it.
If I was sitting around at home all day, I would tend to want to graze
a
little more and think about that.
And how many times have you heard someone say to a kid, and now I say to myself sometimes, you're not hungry, you're just bored.
Right.
You know, yeah, I feel like eating. No,
and
you don't.
There was a time about 100 years ago where breakfast was not even a thing in this world. It was a campaign by Kellogg, or maybe Post, I can't remember which one.
Kellogg, I thought.
Kellogg, that, you know, it's like, hey, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And once something is in your ear, it becomes, you know.
Well, it's not only in their ear what they do, as I've realized, I've seen it with COVID, I've seen it with breakfast, I've seen it with all the ointments and all the stuff you slather all over kids and whatever it is. They get hold of the moms. And once they get hold of the moms are like, you need some hot porridge. You need some instant Quaker cereal. You need something hot.
Stick
you need something
ribs.
Hearty. Mm-hmm. You can't leave the house with an empty tank. And you can't just have a piece of cheese or an apple. You need something hearty. You know, so they get, they like indoctrinate these people. And then it just kind of becomes, it just is. It's like, that's what you believe.
And wasn't cornflakes invented to stop masturbating?
Yeah. Dextrinization was created by Dr. Kellogg. He was the guy that figured out that you can burn wheat just enough to turn it into sugar. That's what dextrose is. That's
to stop masturbating.
Yeah. And it was all to stop masturbating.
Think about Vinny's probably going to yak when I tell him this, but it's the reason I like taking the walks down memory lane with Kellogg's and Vinny and the Hee Haw twins and is you realize how much of this stuff was fucking just wrong. Mm-hmm. Just they were dead nuts wrong. They weren't even
twins.
They weren't not right. They were wrong.
Right. They had
so
it backwards.
When I was young, and Vinny probably remembers this time. Oh, I know everything because my mom was a health food nut hippie who was wrong about everything that came out of her fucking mouth, except for when she said the name Adam was fucking wrong. And even then she'd say Alan once in a while. But she was just wrong. Every thought she had was a little conspiracy, a little bit the government and whatever. And every dietary thought she'd ever entertain was wrong.
Bulgur wheat, molasses.
Quinoa.
Yeah. It was all, we didn't have quinoa, but I'll tell you what we had. We had wheat germ. And wheat germ was just wheat germ with molasses in it, essentially. And it was like, you got to sprinkle this on everything. You have your big bowl of Quaker nuts. Don't use apple juice in there. Don't use milk. And then cut up a banana and then take the wheat germ and dump it on. Wheat germ. In brewer's yeast tasted like shit, but brewer's yeast was like the health food. Mm-hmm. You'd put wheat germ, it came in a peanut, old-timey, almost like Planters peanut jar. You take it out, you just sprinkle it on top
did
of
it,
everything
did
you
it
ate.
Taste?
Was it a laxative?
Brewer's yeast smelled like Rhonda Shear's used underwear.
Oh, come on. Yeah. I've actually heard people use brewer's yeast to sprinkle on like popcorn and stuff.
Yeah,
instead
because
of-
if you like that kind of
pungent.
That pungent.
It's tough. Yeah. Brewer's yeast is tough. But wheat germ is, I'm sure, horrible for you. But it had the word wheat and germ in it.
Oh, sure.
And they would like toast it and probably goose it up with a little molasses or something, or corn syrup or something. And it was a little bit sweet. And they just, the whole thing was, this is wheat germ. You can eat this stuff right out of the jar, sprinkle it on everything you make. It'll be that much better for you. Dead nuts wrong on all that shit, too. Just wrong.
I'll take you one step further. Metamucil, all of the, that was all the wheat companies figuring, wait, we're throwing away all this crap, this husk. We need to do some. Let's convince America, because once you convince America, you can convince the world. Let's convince America that they need more soluble fiber.
Right.
Let's tell them they need this every day. And you know what happens after you take this 2 or 3 or 4 days or every day? Your whole system becomes lazy. The system, and then people say, no, you don't understand. If I don't take it, I get constipated.
That's why.
Yes, because your system has now become lazy. It takes 1 or 2 rounds of constipation for your everything to turn around, your constitution to turn around to where you can actually get things moving again. We're not meant to work in that zero environment.
Can I Google both of you right? I literally just Googled wheat germ. It says it's a byproduct of the milling that produces refined grain products, side effects, diarrhea, nausea, gas, and dizziness.
Cool.
Well, if you need to get things moving, I guess diarrhea is a good side effect.
Yeah. What's in is wheat germ. I think it's probably sweetened with molasses. Now, again, my mom's wrong about everything. So in her world, brown sugar, molasses, that was all fine. Kefir, you could drink the yogurt stuff.
Yep.
That was fine.
It's still a thing.
It probably had a ton of sugar in it, but all that was fine. And again, I haven't even thought about wheat germ in a million years. Oh, wait a minute. Kyle?
Yes.
Can you haul your fat ass out to the show this weekend and pull balls for us?
Yeah, I would love to.
Are you coming from Tallahassee?
Yeah, we had planned the trip anyway, and then you said it the other day that you're going to be in Raleigh. I was like, no way. So, yeah, it's a nice little coincidence. Happy to do it.
Good.
You want to do which shows you want to do, late. Max Banna? Is that looking at it? Oh, yeah. Late. Saturday late show. Good. Come pull balls, buddy.
All right, I'll be there.
Good Nights Comedy Club. That'll be this weekend. All right, thanks, bro. Say hi, and congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks, Vinny. Good job, thanks, everyone.
You bet.
All right. So let's see. Vinny, altitude training.
Yeah, you were talking about Red Rocks or something a few weeks ago. I caught that show, and you were, and I think you had someone on. They were like, "Yeah, you know, everyone likes to train at altitude because you know you can get more red blood cells. You recruit more red blood cells when you're at altitude, and that will make you stronger." That's almost correct. Well, you do recruit more red blood cells. That part is correct. The problem is that if you're training at altitude, your muscles and your mitochondria will never match the red blood cells. So the best example I can come up with is take Pikes Peak. Mm-hmm. And they have a race on Pikes Peak every year where cars go up. Now the only cars winning that is electric cars because electric is not affected by the altitude. But if you take a gas engine, let's say for simplicity that the gas engine is carbureted, right? Mm-hmm. Because back in the day, they were all carbureted. These cars that are kicking ass at the bottom might have trouble at the top because mm-hmm. now the oxygen mixture is different at the top than at the bottom. So you're not getting the same mixture. So you might want your car to run rich and rough on the bottom so that when you get to the top, you can make it all the way to the top and win. The same thing happens to the human body. You can make all the red blood cells that you want, but if you don't have the engine, if you don't have a big enough carburetor and a deep enough intake, you're never going to get what you need to the pistons, right?
The cylinder, yeah. Pikes Peak is a crazy thing, by the way.
Yeah.
Crazy people do that race. Because it's like 9 miles all the way up this twisty road and maybe Colorado and altitude of whatever gets snowy at the top mm-hmm. and it's hot at the bottom. And there's no guardrail.
Oh,
if you go over the edge, you go over the edge. It's a crazy.
Yikes. And they do it on motorcycles too. Some of these guys.
Yeah, they do it. They do it on everything. They paved it recently, which is
that was
weird.
Nice of them.
All of it or a piece of it.
I think they paved all of Pikes Peak. There was a. They didn't want it that way. It's 12.4 miles. It's 156 turns. It's really hard to learn. You're going. The guys that are serious about it, trying to set a time. It's a timed event.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
And but you go a little too hot into one of those corners, you're going over the edge, and yeah. that edge just keeps going because you're at Pikes Peak. And yeah, it's interesting now. The cars used to be affected quite a bit as the altitude changed and the air got thinner, but now there's electric cars.
And even if you have a fuel injected system with the right chip, you can chip it correctly, but the human body doesn't have electricity or a chip. So what happens, and we'll use the Tour de France as an example. What these guys used to do was they would train low, you know, at low altitude so that you could build up as much muscle fiber as you can, as much mitochondria as you can. Mitochondria, think of that as the scrubbing bubbles of energy within your cells, of your muscles. But now you don't have enough red blood cells because that's what carries the oxygen to the muscles. So what these guys would do back in the day is they would do something called blood doping, where they would take their own blood.
Thank God that's gone.
Well, hang on. What they would do is put it in a centrifuge machine right before the event. They would put it back in, and there was no way that you can detect blood doping. It's your own blood back in. Yeah. And then that got kind of sloppy. You got to keep it cold. You have to keep it on ice. You got to move this around the Tour de France or whatever. They figured out that a drug you probably took, Brian, at some point. They took not Neupogen, but EPO, Epogen,
okay,
which artificially makes red blood cells. So when you hear about PEDs,
I might need that.
PEDs, performance enhancing drug, the media will pick it up and go steroids, but it's not steroids. It's actually something that will give you red blood cells. They still couldn't detect that. And so then they just went, okay, anything with a hematocrit level over 52, we're going to assume you're cheating, except some Spaniards and Italians can get that naturally because of their genetics. So the answer to the question, without getting too deep.
Should you train at altitude?
You should train low
and sleep high. Oh. So if you could train at a low level, somewhere below a mile, somewhere below 1,000 feet, you're going to get the optimal amount of muscle training done. But if you spend at least 8 to 12 hours up at altitude at night, you will build. So if you can train at the bottom of Death Valley and then go up to the top of, say, Big Bear and live, that's your best bet. Or you can sleep in an altitude tent.
Like Michael Jackson.
No, he did a hyperbaric chamber, which is the opposite.
It's funny because they always talk about, we talked to Frank Mir about this, but they always talk about fighters training at altitude. That's the way it always went. They go up to Big Bear and they train at Big Bear. And
Rocky on the top of Siberia.
Yeah, you got to train at altitude, right. But it probably didn't do them any good. But it probably did help their training a lot because they were away from all the whores and bars. And they probably just went up to Big Bear like some old timer just went, I don't even know anything about altitude, but there's no whores, strip clubs, fucking liquor stores, nudie bars, high schools. There's nothing here that these people get into. So we'll just go up and do altitude training in Big Bear. It was really just going to a cabin.
Happy accident.
And not banging and balling and doing drugs. All right, let me hit Keeps here. There are only two FDA-approved medications to prevent hair loss. Keeps offers you both. Keeps, a simple, stress-free way to keep your hair. Convenient virtual doctor consultations and medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months in discreet packaging. Low-cost treatments start at just $10 per month. Proven results. Keeps has more five-star reviews than any of its competitors. And go ahead, go to their website, check out the before and after photos. Prevention, that's the key. Treatment can take 4 to 6 months to see results, so act fast. It's Keeps, right, Dawson?
If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to KEEPS.com/Adam to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/Adam to get your first month free. KEEPS.com/Adam.
Two-time heavyweight, UFC heavyweight champion Frank Mir is going to join us. Vinny Fat, a documentary, too. And that's available at Amazon Prime. And you can Amazon Prime Video and iTunes and stuff as well. And also just go to his website. Got a lot of good information there. And VinnyTortorich.com. All right, quick break. Back with Frank Mir right after this.